Randallo.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Happy Mother's Day.
Thank you.
Please join me in saying the Anabakoa. Anabakoa Yadula Chuminha Tati Terura Alephet Gimel Yudtah Tzadi Kabel Rinat Amcha Sagvenu Ka Hareinu Nora Kufre Shayan Sintet Nun Nagibor Dorshe Yehudcha Kivavat Shamrein Nun Gimel Dalet Yud Kaf Shin Arhem Tacharem Rachame Sitkacha Tamid Gamlem Betet Reish Tzaditat Gimel Chasim Kadosh Birov Tucha Nael Adata Het Kuf Bet Tet Nunayan Yachid Geye Lamcha Penei Zokre Kedushata Yud Gimel Lamed Pei Zayin Kuf Shavatenu Kabel Ushma Tziakatenu Yodea Kalumot Shin Kufav Tadi Yud Taf. We have brought the energy of creation into our space. We will now separate between the right column energy and the left column energy of this creation, utilizing the 13 attributes of mercy. Adonai Yohei Wahei, Adonai Yohei Wahei, El Rachum Vechanun, Erech Apayim Viral Chesed Behemet Notze Chesed La'alavim Notze Aon Wafesha V'chata'a V'nake. We are now going to connect to the energy of certainty. We do this through the Zohar, the Sulam commentary on Parashat Yitro. We're reading Pasuk 29 to study. And I'll start with the Lashem Yehud. Lashem Yehud Shabri Hu Ishkinte Bid Hilu Erhimu Hilu Hilu Erhimu Le'afta Lashem Yehud He Bavav He Be'yehuda Shalim B'shem Kol Yisrael Limud Torah Mitzvah, Lasuk Torah Mitzvah. Vayhi Noam Adonai Eloheinu Aleinu Maasei Adenu Kananei Aleinu Maasei Adenu Kananeihu. Rabbi Abba Amar Bekama Tar Tanei Nam Dekucha Perichu Homa de Aved Beela Wikata Kola Kishot Yovada Dikot Perle Lach Mila Bialma Divaye Barnash Rachia Minea Ulan Haga Beyakalana Tehakulu Ovada Dikshot Inun Wikola Isterich Bialma. We'll now connect to the energy of the year 5778, which is to bow to Hashem in order to walk with Hashem. There are two verses that connect to this energy. The first that we study is 2 Samuel chapter 13, verse 6. Vayishkavam non vayitchal vayavo Hamelech liroto vayomer amnon El hamelech tavo na tamar Achoti utlabev Ve'enei shetel vivot Yevre miyada. The second verse that we study is Psalms chapter 32, verse 5. Concealed in this verse is the name of the year, Tafshin Ayin Chet. The letters of this name are separated by three letters each. Chata Tiyodiyacha Avoni Lo Kisiti Amarti Ode Ale Shai Radonai Yohe Weata Nadata Avon Chatati Sela. The year 5777. There are also two verses that connect to this energy of the wake-up call, or the year of the goat. The year Tafshin Ayin Zion. The first verse that we study is Lamentations chapter 3, verse 52. Sod Saduni Kasipor Oyevai Chinam. When we take the first letters of these words, we're able to permute them into Tzatzki Ach, which translates as appear like brothers. When we take the final letters, we have Dir Yam, which translates as a sea of tenants. The second verse that connects to this year, 5777, is Joshua chapter 23, verse 8. Concealed in this verse is the name of the year, Tafshin Ayin Zion. The letters of this name are separated by seven letters each. Kim Vadonai Yohewahe Elohechem Tadevaku Kasher Asitem Ad Hayom Hazeh. The year 5776, the year of the pause, also has two years, or two verses that connect to this energy. The first that we study is 2 Chronicles, chapter 29, verse 34. Raka Kohanim Hayulimat Willo yaflu lehashi. Et kol haolot baye haskum. Achechem halavim. Ad kilotam lacha. Biad yitgadshu hakohanim. Ki halavim yishre levav. Lehitkadesh. Meha kohanim. This verse has 24 words. When we take the first letter of these words, we're able to permute them into eight names of God. These names are Adonai Yohei Wahei Lalahei Wawawa Yolayo Alamei Hei 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 Aka'a Rekacha. The second verse connecting to this energy of the pause is Isaiah chapter 26, verse 4. B'tuva Adonai Yohewahe Adead Ki Bia Yohe Adonai Yohewahe Surolamim. Year 5775, as the energy of swallowing death forever. There are three verses that connect to this energy. The first that we study is from Job. It's chapter 7, verse 19. Kama lo tishemi meni lo tarpeni at bili ruki. Next, we will study 1 Samuel chapter 23, verse 23. Uru mikol hamachavo yiyam. Asher yitchabei sham v'shavten elai el nachon. V'halati hem v'chayayim yeshno. Varets vipasti oto bekol alpe Yehuda. And the third verse is also from Job. It's chapter 20, verse 7. Kegelo lanetzach yoved roav yomru ayo. The year 5774 has the energy of peace in the Middle East. There is only one verse that connects to this energy. It's 2 Samuel, chapter 7, verse 10. Wesamti makom lami l'Yisrael untati v'shakam taktal v'lo yirgaz od v'lo yosifu v'nei avla l'anoto Ka'asher barishona. We will now connect to the energy of the 72 names of God. The method that we use to do this is to say the letters out loud in sequence using their root vowels. Wahe wayo layo sayote alame. Mehe shi la la he aka aka heta eza yo ala da la ala he hea yo la la me be he e re yo he ko me la awa ka la yo la wa wa pe he la. Nu la cha yo 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 me la he he. Hey wa Nuta hey hey a yo re ta shi a hey re yo yo a wa me la ka be wa shi re yo ke wa la he he ka wa to me nu da a nu yo ke a me re he a yo yo za hey hey hey. Yo ha wa wa la yo la hey Sa'alayo, Ashila meyo he, Wahe wadanu yo, He he shi ame me, Nunu anu yo ta me be he pe wa yo, Nu me me yo la he re he me sa re, Wa me be yo he he, Anu wa me he yo. Da me be me nu ko ayo wa he be wa Ple a he wa yo Yo be me he yo yo me wa me. And now the 72 names from the Tzaddikim, utilizing the same method of connection. Wa 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 yo 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 sa be te a a me me be shi la yo hey anu wa ka me ta hey hey yo anu da la hey a wa hey me a yo sa la me re hey hey yo yo hey me me wa 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 ka be yo la yo wa pe nu la no me ha Yo he yo me nu he te he wa nu yo he he shi a yo re ta hi a he re la yo a wa me la yo be wa he re yo yo wa la he he ka a ko me nu da a nu yo he wa me re he a Yo he za, he shi he me kaha, wa wa la yo yo he, sa a la re yo, a la me ta he, wa he ba, wa he wa da la yo, he yo shi a la me, nu he a nu yo wa ta, me la he pe a yo. Nu ko me yo re la, he be he me za re. Wa he be yo a he, a la wa me za yo. Da he be me ka ko, e la la a he he wa. Re la he yo yo re, he la wa, he he me. The Tzaddikim left this day, the 28th day of Iyar, the day known as Jerusalem Day, Yom Yerushalayim. Shmuel HaNavi, Samuel the Prophet, Rabbi Yosef Yehuda Reiner, Rabbi Yitzhak of Korbel, known as the Baal Chachotem, Rabbi Yerachmiel Yehuda Meir Kalish, known as the Amshinov Rebbe, and Rabbi Shlomo Avraham Eliyahu Green of B'nai Brak. Tonight, there's one Kabbalist, Rabbi Meir of Primishlan, who chose to leave the 29th day of Iyar starting tonight. Our class handout today can be found on the revealed on the unique astrological times link. If you scroll down, the link can be found underneath the two pictures on the right of every Yeshem webpage. or on mobile devices at the bottom of the page. This unique, when you open up the Times link, we scroll down to the study material for Shavuot. And the fourth link under that title is Shavuot Mount Sinai Immortality Part 1. And that will be our handout tonight. Does anyone have any questions before I begin?
Hanok?
Yes.
Please call Connie after this call.
Sure.
Thank you.
Shavuot is immortality. And this is a sermon that was given by Rabbi Philip Berg that I heard and then has been published since then in other formats. And it is an extremely important understanding about Shavuot. Before Rabbi Berg's entry into the world of Kabbalah in 1962, he was a traditional observant Jew. I observed the Jewish holiday known as Shavuot in the Orthodox manner. This holiday, which commemorates the giving of the Ten Utterances, requires we study biblical or Talmudic texts all night until dawn, at which time we would pray and go to sleep. This was the way I had observed Shavuot from the age when I was first capable of staying awake all night. As I understood then, it was customary to observe this holiday in commemoration of the event on Mount Sinai. The reason for studying was to display our connection to the event. On Mount Sinai. The reason for studying was to display our connection to that event. And that was all there was to it. It was a traditional observance with no particular personal meaning for Rabbi Berg or for most people. My commentary. There are many Orthodox manners of praying and celebrating Shavuot. Many of these include staying up all night on the night of Shavuot. To my knowledge, only the Kabbalistic custom and the Sephardic Minhag utilize the Zohar discussion about the crowns of the Shekhinah. The crowns of the Shekhinah are two-letter Hebrew sequences that come from each book of the Torah. As we read on, this will become more familiar to us. The reader may then imagine how shocked and confused I was when I experienced my first Kabbalistic Shavuot with my master, Rav Yehuda Brandwin. We seemed to be practicing and observing the holiday just as I had since childhood. It was truly a revelation to me, however, to learn the why of the event. This was the explanation of the revelation event and what it was meant to do for me today, 3,400 years later. I could not believe my ears. My master first reminded me that anyone who referred to this holiday as the commemoration of the giving of the Ten Utterances or the initiation of a new religion, specifically Judaism, was mistaken. Furthermore, he continued the entire tradition and cited the most significant aspect. When I heard him say this, I was trembling. What had I and all of the Jewish people throughout the millenniums missed? I had been steeped in the religious observance of this event and believed I had been taught all there was to know about the Ten Utterances. First, he began, never again referred to the event as the Lord's gift of the Ten Utterances. There was no event that signified commandments. My commentary. I am taking an aside and explain what is not being said about the concept of mitzvot. A command is the translation of the word mitzvah. In Hebrew, the mitzvah, spelled mem tzadi vav hey, has two shorashim. One is command, tzadi and vav. This leaves the letters that spell the word ma, which translates as what. This teaches us that mitzvah can be translated as what command. This is teaching us that the other shoresh is more accurate and that the shoresh is not a command. The second shoresh is mem tzadi, which means attached. The letters that are left are the vav and the hey, which is a component of the Creator's name. Thus, the real meaning of mitzvah is attached to Hashem. There is another connection through the Hebrew letters using the Atbash method of letter substitution. The mem becomes a yud and the tzadi becomes a hey. Thus, mitzvah becomes Hashem's name, yud-hey, the Kabbalah explains that when someone accepts a command from someone, even the Creator, they become an effect and lose the opportunity to be a cause. Being a cause is one explanation of the purpose of creation. Upon hearing these words, I might have said, "Goodbye, I really do not want to hear anything more." But my master had a reputation as a rabbi, a scholar, and a Kabbalist, so I stayed. He continued the reciting something I faintly recalled in the Talmud, the statement that what happened on Mount Sinai was the revelation of the Ten Utterances. Why, I wondered, would the Talmud use the word utterances? Most of the world considered the revelation of Mount Sinai to be the revelation of the Ten Commandments. But there is no command. There's only attachment. Every moviegoer is familiar with the spectacular movie, The Ten Commandments, directed by Cecil B. DeMille. He literally immortalized the awareness of the revelation incident. Upon learning that the event on Mount Sinai involved not commandments, but utterances, however, I asked my master how such a misunderstanding had emerged. Why had this mistaken interpretation been permitted to stretch over millennia? The answer was shocking. After all my years in rabbinical study, my master's response was a complete deviation as to the methodology in approaching the more important events in Scripture. My teacher explained to me that behind every misunderstanding that emerged from the significant event of the revelation lay the sinister hand of the Satan, and it was his continued presence that perpetuated this post-distortion. The Satan places great emphasis on maintaining this mistaken interpretation. My master explained, the Satan was familiar with the time of revelation and the ten utterances, but the true purpose of the revelation, said my master, could be summed up in one word, immortality. I am adding, this must be internalized. Immortality is the most important essence of the Torah. Every other energy and or essence that comes from the Torah pales in significance to immortality. One must reach certainty in immortality to manifest the true energy of the Esser Dibrot, or the Ten Utterances, as we will see. On Shavuot, we receive the energy of immortality, provided we have cleansed ourselves and connected to certainty during the period of the counting of the year. Recalling crucial new understanding of the connection between Shavuot and immortality, Rabbi Berg and his wife decided to establish this long-forgotten tenet that belonged to all of mankind. The Mount Sinai revelation experience. He gave the attendees a mini experience of immortality by guaranteeing them that by fulfilling the requirements outlined by the Zohar and Rav Isaac Luria, they could enjoy the next 4 months without fear of death. This concept was too much for many, including some who had taken formal classes at the center. Many close friends of the center warned us that this guarantee was stretching our luck too far, but Karen and I were determined. If Kabbalah is indeed the solution and the salvation for all humankind, we are going to ride it for all its worth. The beauty of Kabbalah is that regardless of what one's religion may be, Kabbalistic teachings can rid life of chaos. My commentary. Throughout human history, one person's attitude that they are right and the other guy is wrong has led to wars and chaos. Even today, most religious Jews learn from their rabbis that the other religions are wrong and serve some form of idol. What Rabbi Berg is saying in the above statement, that even if someone is serving an idol, which should imply and manifest a chaotic effect, that will not happen if one stays up the night of Shavuot and studies the Torah. It is too long to explain this in this study. Later on Shavuot, if one will remind me, we will explain it and how this actually works. The revelation of the Ten Utterances. The understanding of the true significance of what occurred on Mount Sinai is of great import. Once you turn on this understanding, it increases the brightness, and more of the true meaning of this event is revealed. In order for the process of mortality to reverse, every single one of the components must be prepared in order to realize the whole. Additionally, the process must occur in harmony with the cosmic calendar. Only in this way can the energy for immortality be released at the appropriate time. Only in this way can the energy for immortality be released at the appropriate time. With the right consciousness. Each and every year, the right moment comes around. This is the significance of the revelation. I am adding, this is the significance of the holiday of Shavuot. The energy of immortality is made available to you once again. Yes, the immortality energy is present within the light. With the right meditation, the complete wisdom of Kabbalah, people are allowed to tap into the light's awesome energy, drawing it into their bodies, meeting its enemy, mortality energy. The light force is capable of completely eliminating mortality as it had if it had never been there, just as a light bulb eliminates darkness from a room when the switch is turned on. The removal of the mortality influence. The mortality influences go deep. Mortality at the time of the Garden of Eden penetrated to the genetic level. Two distinct stages are required for its removal. The first is for us to become prepared for the transformation. To cease doubting, we must leave our cynicism and show-me egos behind and change over to certainty consciousness. And after this, we must allow ourselves to receive the radical metaphysical alteration that we undergo when we truly open ourselves to Kabbalah energy. We must, of our own free will, choose immortality. I am adding, read the above paragraph again and again until you own the desire to receive immortality. The Kabbalah and science, each in their own way and using its own vocabulary, are beginning to explain mortality as a gene and/or a space in that gene. The revelation at Mount Sinai each and every year returns our gene structure to what it was in Adam prior to the eating from the tree of knowledge, good and evil. The mistake of Mount Sinai. When my master discussed the revelation on Mount Sinai, he said that soon the circumstances would appear in which I would receive my confirmation that immortality was real. I felt that he was referring to what Karen, his wife, and himself had established as the Mount Sinai revelation experience. By the late 70s, these gatherings included scholars who were Kabbalah educated and initiated. Although the conferences were open to all who could raise their consciousness to the level of acceptance of immortality. Many of the established Jewish communities were opposed to linking this event to Shavuot. They asked that we redesignate the event as the giving of the 10 utterances, and that we omit the word immortality. When I indicated at the end, the event was less my own idea, but instead embodied conclusions reached by the Zohar, the hostility became still more intense. However, I knew that there was no turning back, for the traditional methods of observation of this holiday ignored the Zohar. My master believed, and I believe, that dogmatic form of religion was never the intent of the revelation. Neither was the revelation intended as an event in which the Jewish people became a nation. The purpose of the revelation was instead to restore the universe to an orderly, structured nature. A world where the life force is law as it existed before Adam. To any rational mind, this new approach was exactly what people wanted and what people need. Why would this interpretation of the revelation bring down this terrible wrath of the Jewish establishment and the hostility between Jews only seen through the destruction of the temples? This is even more incomprehensible to me. I consider that immortality is a concept accepted within all major religions. The various religions each have an agenda regarding immortality. None of these expected agendas have the idea that this immortality can come in a natural, normal, medical technology advancement. This may not happen this way, yet it may happen this way. This is the reason the major religious establishments do not accept the teaching of Kabbalah. They know immortality will happen. They just want it to be in a miraculous sound and light show, in a sound and light show method. A natural, normal medical technology, or even a normal herbal route, is not acceptable to these people. Yet each one of us needs to make a choice for ourselves. Time travel. In our day-to-day lives, this strange paradox exists. Although people are consumed by death consciousness, they are at the same time engaged in an incredible denial of death. It's as if life and death have been removed. For example, there is rarely an adult who has not been asked to purchase life insurance so as to provide for his or her dependent children. In the event of the death of the provider, even the questioner, I have wondered, why do they have insurance companies call this thing life insurance when the proper name should be death insurance, inasmuch as the payment of this policy will occur only when the insured dies? But those who attend our celebration of the revelation on Mount Sinai are truly acquiring life insurance. A guarantee that they will survive for the next 3 or 4 months until the end of the Hebrew astrological year. For the present, this small taste of immortality is a pleasure to offer, just as before a large meal, one is offered a sample of the chef's talents in order to whet the appetite. In the 30 years that the center has been providing, and now it's in the 50 years, the Kabbalistic revelation experience, there has not been a single death among those who have attended in the four-month period immediately following the revelation experience. This is what the master had originally foreseen when he shared his vision of immortality. Little did Rabbi Berg or his wife know where that humble beginning would take us today. Thousands of people around the globe are reaping the benefits of the Master's prophecy. The idea that mini immortality was a virtual reality spread like wildfire. The notion that a time travel machine was available has even intrigued scientists. While the center's findings could not be verified by conventional scientific methods, this did not deter students from around the world from altering the Mount Sinai revelation experience. I didn't mean to say altering, it was attending, being present in the all-night study. To achieve immortality, even for 4 months, requires traveling back in time. Although the time machine has thus far been a part of science fiction and not of science, scientists have explained that if such a thing as a time machine ever existed, it would be as if time slowed down in actuality. While the years would go by in real time, we would not age. When we achieve permanent immortality, the close stops altogether for all time. Although the rational mind cannot grasp the concept of time slowing down or stopping permanently, the fact has already been established. The controversy that was surrounded our claim in this regard may be compared to the 19th century debate over air travel. Some claim that heavier than air machines would never remain aloft, yet pioneers persisted until the airplanes became a reality. Time travel simply means that one can travel faster than the speed of light. Albert Einstein claimed that it was impossible to travel faster than the speed of light, because if one could, then there would be no past, no present, or no future. Everything would be in the here and now, the present. Time would stop. There would be no aging Einstein, and Einstein never proved that one cannot travel faster than the speed of light. He merely reasoned that such a phenomena could not exist. If it did, people could travel back in time. They would go back to and stop upon reaching their vigorous youth. Einstein did not believe in time travel simply because he did not see the theory in practice. He could not accept the theory of immortality because he could not personally witness this reality. Today, science has confirmed that particles exist that travel farther and faster than the speed of light. Science is finally catching up with the Kabbalah. Yet one of the obstacles that science must deal with is their uncertainty principle. How aptly titled. It demonstrated how far physics remains behind Kabbalah. For as we know, one of the prime causes of chaos is that the Satan has infused human consciousness with the principle of uncertainty. We must choose to change all this. To achieve temporary or permanent immortality requires certainty. The revelation on Mount Sinai will accompany this long sought after reality. There's nothing to be aside from consciousness. If in our minds we have doubts whether the revelation on Mount Sinai created immortality, then all Kabbalistic meditations and connections will not serve us in achieving immortality. This act of traveling back in time was detailed in the Zohar. On the night of the Kabbalistic revelation experience, all those who participate are provided with the methodology that assists them in connecting with the cosmos. It is this vital connection that embodies and perpetuates the energy of mini immortality. My commentary. The Kabbalistic technology is 24 crown jewels from the Torah. If you do not yet know what this is, join a Kabbalistic study during the night of Shavuot, and it will be explained. We're going to stop here, because we're almost out of time. And we will pick this up in our study tomorrow night at 7 p.m. There is a class today at 3 o'clock for advanced reincarnation. But it's a class that is going to be studying the writings of the Uri, Rabbi Isaac Luria. You're going to find the information in that class quite revelatory. Our class tonight at 7 o'clock will be to count the Omer. Monday at 4:30, we will have a deeper Zohar class, and at 7 o'clock, we will continue our study in immortality about Shavuot. Does anybody have any questions?
I have a comment, Hanok. Ever since I started studying in your class, last year, this past year has been really important about Shavuot, and I participated in the study, and 4 months later, we had Hurricane Harvey hit my area, and I truly believe, because of the study, that I was spared, along with saying the Anabakoic all night long. So, yes, the study really does work.
It does work. There has never been someone who, in the months from Shavuot to Rosh Hashanah, there's never been anyone who stayed up all night with the materials that we provide that has died. Now, that's a lot of people. Of course, it should not be statistically significant for those who need that kind of verification. But for those who don't, for those who are willing to accept the statement, the results are clear, as Brandy said. Any other questions?
This is Malka. Does that study
all night study tonight or Monday night? You broke up. Please say it again.
Does all night study, is it tonight or tomorrow night?
The all night study is Saturday night, this coming Saturday night.
Okay, I'm sorry. I wasn't looking at the calendar. This coming Saturday. Okay.
All this week, we are going to be preparing for that study. And we're providing you material for that study that explains what to do, because we will not be doing it together as a community.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions? You all have a beautiful Mother's Day, and we will we will continue in our next class at 3 p.m. West Coast time. And Connie, I will call you. Hello.
Oh, yeah.